Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We've got a special guest today. I think I read something like 37,000 people plus and counting entered into the Catholic Church on Holy Saturday. What a miracle, the fact that people come into the Catholic Church. I'll tell you why. Because we're not the perfect church. Obviously, we're a bunch of sinners, but it's the true church. And it always amazes me to see that people find their way to the arms of Jesus. And I'll tell you, there is one reason to be a Catholic Christian. Number one is because Jesus Christ started the Catholic Church. And number two, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's alive forevermore. And so we got somebody here today that just came into the Catholic Church. In fact, in my parish, I just met him. I saw all these young adults coming into the Catholic Church, warm my heart. People, you know, a third my age coming into the church, discovering the truth about Jesus Christ and the truth of His church. We've got Jesus Vasquez, who just came into the Catholic Church this past Holy Saturday. Jesus, welcome to Jesus 911 here with my partner, Paul Clay. Welcome, you, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And I'm blessed to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Well, as I said, congratulations. You were fully received into the one true church started by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in 33 AD. So my first question, were you born a cradle Catholic or were you a convert to the Catholic faith?
Yeah, no, it'd be a revert. So yeah, I was born Catholic. I was baptized as an infant and did my first communion. So that's all I had at that moment. And yeah, just grew up Catholic.
And I guess you wandered away from the church. Tell us a little bit about your journey. Did you wander away? Did you stay in the church? Did you start experimenting with other religions? Kind of tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
Sure. I mean, one thing's for sure. One thing that really stuck was the fact that Jesus is God. So regardless of where I was religiously, whatever it was, Jesus was always God, which is obviously a blessing. So, but yeah, I never had the structure in my home. I wouldn't say never, but it was very here and there with church on Sundays. There was no catechism going on at home, right? Obviously you need to have that. So really it was just Jesus is God and no Bible, no really rosary, no prayer life, nothing like that. That's really how I grew up. So obviously, as you can tell, I had no rails, right, to keep me on the straight path. So it was very easy to wander off, and it didn't seem wrong, right, because I had no structure. And obviously, I grew up in Los Angeles with the internet era and a lot of liberalism around. So, you know, I dug into the culture and, you know, I started to wander off from the church and thinking that church was evil, thinking that church is created by man. The Bible is created by man. So what's the point of reading that? You know, it has the bias. The church is corrupt. So what's the point of having a church and being in the church? So that was where my mind was at.
So just a quick question, Jesus. By the way, welcome to the Catholic Church again.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a revert also. What was the relationship like growing up with was your mother and father married and in the home, or was there a separation there?
Yeah, a divorce between my mother and father. My real father was never really present in my life.
Okay.
So, but I did have a stepfather, and you know, glory to Jesus Christ that you know he's actually a really good man. So, he did help. But again, same with him. He's also lukewarm. My mom was lukewarm at that point. So,
yeah,
you know that didn't really help.
Okay, so the big elephant in the room is, how did you get red hot?
Man, well, that's a whole journey, right? So you know, at first it starts off with me wanting to know the truth, right? I was a truth seeker. And well, you fall into things that aren't the truth to find it, right? You have to kind of look everywhere until you find it. And I wish it was more straightforward, but it's not. And
no, that's good. And it's true. I tell people, Jesus, I can tell you the same thing for myself. I grew up very lukewarm, didn't know the faith. And it's like when you seek truth, because you just kind of instinctively know, okay, like you ask these questions, why am I here? What's real? And then as you start following those breadcrumbs, they eventually lead you to the Catholic Church. So yeah, I can relate.
Yep, very true. And yeah, so some of the religions that or practices was, you know, I New Age, Buddhism studied. So this is me studying them, Buddhism, Islam. So I looked into the Quran and read that. And I did a deep dive on it. Scientology, you know.
Tell us a little bit about Islam and what did you find there?
Yeah. Well, Islam is a unique religion. That's for sure. You know, their claim to faith is that, well, that Prophet Muhammad was, you know, the one to come and set the truth straight, right? For so whatever reason, they believe that the church, what God had established fell off the tracks, right? The Jews didn't have it right. The Christians didn't have it right. So Muhammad had to come and correct it. And well, that right there, if you attack that point, well, you have to take a look and see what is it that Islam has that the Old Testament has. And well, they have nothing in common. There's no continuity there. Everything is different. And obviously you dig even deeper, the atrocities that Muhammad did, you know, the countless wars that happened.
Yes.
It's the fruit isn't there for Islam.
Yes.
And,
there you
and
go.
Textually so, as well.
So you were a fruit inspector.
I like that.
You'll know them by their fruits. Fruit inspector tells us. Yeah, absolutely. And then I like what you said. No continuity. Yes. In order for something to be the true faith, there has to be a continuity with the Old Testament, or even more so, a fulfillment of that. And so Islam is a religion, as I'm sure you discovered, that claims to believe certain things about the Old Testament, but whatever they decide that they don't believe, they basically say, well, it's been rewritten, it's been tainted, it's been, yeah. Or they just change the story, and you say, well, no. If Abraham, you know, there's this one instance where they say, no, it was actually Ishmael who went up the mountain with Abraham, and not Isaac. Well, where do you get that from? You know,
yeah.
And their story just doesn't hold water.
No, not at all. And yeah, no, like I said, did a deep dive on Islam, apologetics. And things of that nature. And like you said, there's no prophecy of a prophet Muhammad. He's a false prophet. And, you know, they also mentioned that Jesus is a Messiah. Some Muslim will say that there is no need for a Messiah, that Jesus wasn't a Messiah, he's a prophet. Some say that he is a Messiah and all the prophets are Messiahs. What does Messiah mean at that point, right? It waters
absolutely.
It down. There's no point.
Yeah, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sin. And he's not saying that I exist. He's saying that I am the great I am of sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they don't believe.
Right. So yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the your journey in Protestantism. What types of Protestant denominations did you check out, study, participate in to try to find some type of fulfillment?
So after studying all the different types of religions, I felt as if I was not satisfied. Obviously there is no truth in any of those religions or practices, and so my soul still had that big Jesus, you know, Jesus shaped hole, right? And so finally I tried out I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give the Bible a try. Once I did, I was already a Protestant in mind, right? I was a super lukewarm Catholic growing up. Well, Protestantism makes the most sense to me. You know, I don't want to have anything to do with organized religion. I want to just have, you know, their motto, right? I just have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, then I dug into non-denominational because I didn't want to have a denomination.
We're just Bible believing Christians, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, yeah, just dug into the scriptures, and, you know, started learning apologetics. And yeah, when it comes to Protestantism, it was definitely not non-denominational. After some time, I noticed that there is no tradition. Just sort of my intuition told me, hey, if you want to have kids someday, you got to leave them behind with something that they can do, some sort of practice, some sort of something that'll, you know, keep them on to the faith. Even if they wander off mentally, they always have that thing that they never forget. So, for example, for me, it was, you know, that Jesus is God, and also the rosary. I remembered the rosary, you know, the Hail Mary prayer in Spanish. It's engraved into my soul, my being, you know.
Nice.
It's, yeah, I
nice.
Can't let it go. And so that kept me grounded. And
Jesus, hold that thought, my friend. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. We're talking with Jesus Vasquez, a young adult, just reverted back to the Catholic faith, Holy Saturday. Him and thousands of people that have come into the church. We want to hear his story. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Praise the Lord. It always warms my heart every single year, Holy Saturday. Tens of thousands of people here in the U.S., mostly young adults, they find their way back to the church started by Jesus Christ in 33 A.D., which is the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And we have one such young man, Jesus Vasquez. I met him the other day, and I can tell after talking with him for just a minute or two, I said, yeah, this guy read his way. He's had an intellectual journey back into the faith. It's just not like one of those moms said, hey, get back to the church. Okay, mom, okay. No, you could tell that this guy, he spent some time exercising his noodle, and he read his way into the church, and I said, I need to have you on, so I'm glad you're here. So, Jesus, what would be the one issue, if you could nail it down to one issue? So you're studying Islam, you're studying Buddhism, you're studying Protestantism, you're attending non-denominational churches, you're a lukewarm Catholic, you're a born-a-cradle Catholic, but one of the things that was in place, you've always understood that Jesus Christ is God. And so that was pretty firmly in place with you. That's why you discounted Islam, you discounted Buddhism and some of the other Eastern religions. But what was the one issue that you would say that caused you to decide to come back to the Catholic Church? What made the sale, so to speak?
So when I came to Christ and came back to Christ in a sense, like got on fire. I was a Protestant at the time. And so my passion was apologetics. Once I started learning, you know, once I felt that hole of like, hey, I don't have tradition here. There has to be something more. I started researching into Lutherans and Presbyterians, that sort of thing. Then I did apologetics against Mormonism, right? LDS, Latter-day Saints. And their come to church is the fact that the apostles lost the keys and that Joseph Smith got the keys back, right? Now, the counter argument to that is that the apostles never lost the keys. Now, a Protestant cannot use that argument because they believe that the church was corrupt from from the very beginning. They had to reform it, and now you got Martin Luther with multiple denominations. So once I got convinced of the argument that the apostles never lost the keys, and by the way, this was an argument formed by Sam Shamoon on YouTube. amazing apologetics.
Yeah, he sure is. Yep.
Yes, sir. And so, man, he destroyed, you know, the Mormonism practice. And yeah, so then that led me to believe that I was in the wrong church. I was the wrong denomination. I was the wrong type of Christian. And well, then I realized that then it was between Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and Catholicism. One of the things that sold it to me, well, obviously you got the sacraments, right? Both churches have the sacraments. Both churches have a great, you know, they have the priesthood. They have the different vocations as well. They have a lot of similarities. One of the big differences is going to be the Pope. And so it took me close to 3 or 4 months of almost every day studying this topic to be convinced that the papacy is valid and is meant to be in place.
Well, you know, Jesus, as I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about Jesus in John chapter 17, when he prayed that they be as one, right? You can kind of see how the Orthodox Church, it exists today in more than, but roughly 25 national churches. You can already see that division is not a good thing. As the church begins to divide, there's a, you know, it tends to break down, right? And confusion sets in. So, it's very interesting that you studied these things and you came to the conclusion. But my one question that I have for you is, did you find some of the things that are going on in the church today at very high levels in the church, did you find any of that to be an impediment to your journey, especially as you were a Protestant looking in? You know, I can only imagine that so many of your Protestant brothers and sisters at the time would say things like, you know, are you really here what the Pope said this week? Or, you know, how does that square with the Orthodox Christianity? Go ahead.
Well, Orthodox Christianity, they do not like the Pope, right? Evidently, they have a huge contention with him. They don't believe that he's, you know, that he has a valid seat. Mm-hmm. So to me, once you have the love of Jesus Christ, there is nothing anybody can say and do that'll make you wander off the path. The truth is the truth, and the truth is the truth. That is just it. There is nothing else to it.
Yeah, my saying is the truth rings true.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to highlight here that, you know, once I was thinking that Jesse told me, oh, you need to come on and, you know, let's talk about what you went through. One of the things I want to highlight here that, you know, while I was praying about this is the love of Jesus Christ is much more important than anything you could think of.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you have that, you can build your house on top of it, which the house is going to be the structure of the church. But if you do not have the love of Christ first, there is no point in talking about the papacy. There's no point in talking about this or that.
Yes. And
there is no point, right? You Amen. Have to have that first. So
yes,
once I had that. Yep, yeah.
So with Jess, he likes to say that you need conversion. Mm-hmm. You see, your heart has to be converted. As Jess is always preaching this, Paul, he says, if you don't have conversion from the beginning, like you said, it doesn't matter dogma, doctrine, or like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? If I have all knowledge, and by the way, I'll say knowledge of doctrine, knowledge of the right liturgy, all kinds of things.
Yep, yep.
But I have not love. And that love is that conversion you're talking about. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And trust me and believe I definitely was getting involved with Orthodoxy. I had a bias against Catholicism. I said I was anti-Catholic. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't just lukewarm. I was anti-Catholic, you know, like everything that you can name, right? Oh, they worship Mary. Oh, the saints are idolatry. Oh, everything you can think of. I had that argument. I had it prepared. Yeah. And well, once that wall was taken down and it was between Orthodoxy and Catholicism. The last thing was papacy. You do have to think a little bit as well, but also, and also, I mean, you have to read the church fathers, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that can be a big jump for some people, right?
Yes.
Some people never even read the Bible. How are you going to tell them about church fathers?
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to have something else, and it starts with the sacraments, which we're a sacramental church.
Oh, yes, yes. You're touching on all the major points. I remember years ago, before I reverted back, Jesse told me, he says, Paul, he says, every time we talk, he says, you always go back to the Reformation. The church is, he says, the church is 2,000 years old. He says, have you ever read the church fathers? Have you ever, I mean, looked at them and read, not some book that was written and redigested and spit out by a, you know, a Protestant, but actually read the church fathers? And I said, no, I haven't. He says, I'll challenge you to do that. And as I did that, I was like, hey, these guys are Catholic.
Yeah.
And the narrative, you know, the one that they feed you, like you said, the church got off the track very early and basically stayed off the track for 1500 years until Martin Luther decided to get it back on the track. That right. just doesn't hold water, especially when you understand that Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles and their successors, by the way, in all truth. Now, and that we call that sacred tradition, which gave us sacred scripture, and the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's 2 Timothy 2:13-14, right? Talks about how the Holy Spirit will guide the church, will guide them, and then the successors. And so, it's definitely the papacy. That is a huge contention, because once you get over that, then you realize, oh, we have Byzantine Catholicism. Oh my gosh, if I love the way that they do the liturgy, you know, Eastern Orthodox, let me just go to a Byzantine Catholic church.
Yeah.
You know, and we have one here in Arizona.
Yeah. Let me ask you,
the 4th century. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What was it about the papacy? Because there's different books that helped me years ago. Was it an argument, a debate? Was it a person, that a seminar? What was it about the papacy that got you solid and said, okay, this is the linchpin to Christianity that holds it all together? I'll tell you what it was for me. It was years ago, like 30 years ago, there was a book that came out. It was called Catholicism versus Fundamentalism by Carl Keating. He's the founder of Catholic Answers. I think he wrote it back in 1988. Because I was where you were at, kind of confused. I bought that book, and his chapter on the papacy just set me straight. I said, okay, this is the foundation stone that Christ set up for Christianity, for apostolic Christianity. What was the one thing that helped you on the papacy?
It was Byzantine Catholicism, you know, John Chrysostom, okay. St. John Chrysostom, reading his writings about how he felt about the Bishop of Rome and the supremacy that he had. You literally read the writings and you will see that there is an obvious distinction between the Bishop of Rome and any other bishop. And it's not the first among equals. Now, they like to say that it is supremacy. Now, one thing that I like to ask, you know, I talk to a lot of Orthodox priests, obviously, right? I'm seeking the truth. One of the things that I asked them, I said, hey, do you think the Bible is infallible? Right. And they say, yeah, I think the Bible is infallible. Do you believe that the writers of the Bible were infallible while writing it? Right. The you know, if you have the Gospel of Matthew, you have the Gospel of John. Do you believe John was infallible in the moment of writing the Bible? They don't know how to answer that, because the truth is that the Holy Spirit made them infallible. So that way they did not write error into the Bible. So why can't the Holy Spirit do the same thing in the papacy, you know, in order to keep us on tracks and say the truth?
Well, right. Yeah. It's the same. Yeah. It's exactly right. Like, and I use that argument to say that, do you believe that the Bible is God breathed scripture? Okay. Yes. Well, do you believe that there can be a God given interpretation to that? you know, a correct interpretation.
Jesus, we're going to keep you on. I want to continue this discussion. You're listening to Jesus 911, talking with Jesus Vasquez, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. He's the revert, came back to the Catholic Church with thousands of people on Holy Saturday. And we're having an intelligent conversation here. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome to thousands and thousands of you that came into the Catholic Church this Holy Saturday from around the country. Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, continues to draw people into the truth of the Catholic Church. We have one such young adult Catholic, Jesus Vasquez. I met him a couple of weeks ago at my parish, had a short conversation with him. I said, okay, I need to have this guy on my show. This guy, he knows what he's talking about. He's not somebody who was nagged by his mom and dad. You got to come back to the Catholic Church. No, this guy studied his way in, and this guy's very thoughtful. Jesus, let me ask you a question. As you started studying apologetics, were you studying kind of the Protestant apologetics, the Protestant arguments? Or did you start studying Catholic apologetics? Obviously there's different brands of apologetics. Or were you just studying kind of a generic Christian apologetics against Islam? What type of apologetics did you start studying as God started preparing your heart to come back into the Catholic Church?
Yeah. So apologetics wise, it was more. When it came down to it, I was learning apologetics against atheism.
Okay.
I was learning apologetics against Islam, against Mormonism, against even Catholicism, right? I felt like my family, that's super Catholic, I said, man, you guys are idolaters and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, Protestant apologetics. And that's how I got started.
From what were you learning it from? What ministry? What Protestant ministry was it? Was it the Christian Research Institute? Was it apologia.org? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. You're getting James White apologetics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very anti-Catholic strain of apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
That's like uber anti-Catholic. Let me ask you a question. Did atheism ever cross your mind as a viable alternative? Just say, you know, I'm just going to be an atheist. You know, nothing makes sense here. There is no God. Or was atheism kind of, did you cross that out immediately? Was that irrational?
Yeah, I love this question, Jesse. Did atheism ever cross my mind? Never. Why? Because I had experiences spiritually that validated that there is another world, right? I didn't know about heaven. I wasn't 100% sure about heaven. I wasn't 100% sure about hell, but I was 100% sure that there is demonic forces and that there are angelic forces. That's just sort of the way I would put it, right? Obviously, I wouldn't use that verbiage now, but that's the way I was thinking back then.
Yeah. Okay.
And man, when I was 14, 15 years old, and this kind of leads me into, you know, why I was an atheist or why I never even thought about atheism is while I was a sophomore in high school, my mom took me out of public school and I wanted to do online school, being homeschooled. Well, for some reason, you know, I was demonically influenced or oppressed, whatever you may call it. Mm-hmm. I asked God to remove his protection from me, which was one of the worst decisions of my life, but also enlightened me of the other, you know, realms that are out there. Yep. For a year straight, Jesse, 365 days, I would have severe anxiety that I've never had anxiety before. I had severe anxiety, severe depression, and I had, I didn't know what was real. My real life, the way I see things, looked like a dream to me and it felt like a dream to me. And so there was no atheism there, man. The only thing that would help me was Jesus, man. Yeah. That's
well,
it.
You know,
right. So,
Jesus, So like sacred scripture says, and I'm sure you're aware, fear is of the devil. And so that spirit of fear, once you renounce with your own lips, you know, you rejected the protection of God. Basically, you know, like when we renew our baptismal vows in the church, you did the opposite. You basically renounced them and opened yourself up. And Jesse could tell you all about this type of stuff. You were very much on dangerous ground there.
And, oh, trust me.
Yeah. And it's just a miracle, which is every conversion. It's a miracle that Jesus Christ, he loved you back to the faith.
Yeah. And so, you know, another thing, for a year straight, I would wake up every, you know, at every day or every night at 3 a.m. exactly on the dot. Every single night with that. Maybe there was one day I could get a full night's sleep, but out of the week, but every other day was waking up at 3 a.m. and having to literally fight for my soul. That's the only thing. Like, I felt my soul trying to get ripped out of me. I had horrible things running through my mind. And
without the supernatural grace of God, you could not have won that battle for sure. But so the axioms of faith and reason, how did that play in? Because it sounds to me like you have a good understanding that the two must complement each other to bring you to any semblance of an understanding.
Yeah, I think the basic argument against atheism, which makes total logical sense, is like, how do you expect such complex organisms to, live on Earth without a creator? You know, it's all an accident, just a big bang. Here we go. And it all just happened that way. And we're intelligent human beings with a consciousness, with, you know, with everything, emotions, whatever you may call it.
Yeah.
It's not an accident at all. Right. It just doesn't make logical sense.
No, it does not.
Screams
design, screams that that our creator has, like David said, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you're going to give an honest assessment, you just have to marvel at the beautiful design that God has done intimately in with everything.
Yeah, and one of the apologetics, his name is Dr. Hugh Ross. He's a Protestant, but he focuses on doing apologetics against, you know, atheism, right? So all of the things he says are pretty general, can apply to, you know, Catholics and whatever you want to call it, any other branch, right? Yep. And, you know, it's the design of the universe and how specific it is. If we had, you know, 0.0001 more gravity, there wouldn't be life on Earth, right? Hemoglobin in your body would not be able to travel to carry the blood or in the oxygen to your brain if the gravity was any more or less. And that's very specific. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a creator.
Yeah, your argument is, there's a very famous science and philosopher. His name's Dr. Anthony Flew. He converted to the Catholic faith a few years ago, but he was probably the most famous atheist in our era. He wrote 40 books against God, and he spent 40 years going from one university to another, Ivy League universities, and lecturing that there is no God. And he would peddle his books. He wrote 40 books against God. He converted, I think, back in 2004. He's passed away now, but he converted back in 2004. And the 41st book that he wrote, the book basically, he said, I was wrong about the other 40 books. And his argument in that book, he said that it was studying the complexity, like you said, the unbelievable complexity of the arrangements of the human person, the intelligence that was required, the design of the cosmos, integrated complexity of the human body with its veins and its muscles and sinews. He says, Anthony Flew says, all my life, I followed the evidence wherever it leads. He goes, and it was looking at that intricacy of the human person and of cosmology that made me denounce my 40 books. And his 41st book was, I think it was called Why There Is a God and Why I Was Wrong. So again, that's a strong argument, like what you're saying right now, when you just start looking at intelligent design and the complexity of the human body, the complexity and the design of the cosmos. This has brought some of the greatest minds into theism and into belief in God. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of Josh McDowell. Remember him, Jess? And he evidence that demands a verdict. Here's a guy who, for his thesis, wanted to disprove the Bible and ended up writing books proving the Bible. And that's what you come up with. Once you start really applying reason to things, well, there's only one rational, reasonable thought. And that is, in fact, that God is. He's the eternal cause, and everything that sacred scripture tells us and the Catholic Church tells us is true, because it's God who decides to basically introduce himself to us.
Yes.
Jesus, did you ever think about, you know, in your pondering atheism, that it was actually the Catholic Church that gave us the discipline of science? It was the Catholic Church that gave us all the major breakthroughs: telescope, petri dish, pasteurization, anything that has to do with science. Many of these scientists, Copernicus, they were Catholic priests. Did that ever come to your mind as you were studying, saying, "Boy, these Catholics, a lot of these guys were priests. They've been the greatest inventors in science in human history." Did you ever run across that data?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Protestant, you know, pastors will even admit to you, you know, some of the greatest minds were, in fact, Catholic. And so, but they, you know, obviously they take away they strip them away from their Catholic faith and just say they were a Christian. They're the greatest Christian thinkers. They're greatest.
Hold that thought. I want to have you on. Yeah. I'm going to have you on one last segment. We got one more segment with Jesus Vasquez. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're here having a conversation with Jesus Vasquez. Just came into the Catholic Church. Congratulations. Him and tens of thousands of people came into the One True Church on Holy Saturday all over the United States. And this is a young man that has studied his way. He's burned the midnight candle, as they say, and basically making sure that he was following truth, and truth led him right back into the Catholic Church. Jesus, there's a lot of young people that they call themselves nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Why is there so many nuns within your generation? Do you think they're just intellectually lazy? Are they just sidetracked with narcotics and sexual promiscuity? Are they just brainwashed with a college Marxist education? Why do you think there are so many nuns, N-O-N-E-S, or who knows, maybe it's broken families? Why do you think there are so many nuns amongst your generation?
Wow. It's all of the above. It's all of the above, but also a huge emphasis on the fact that it's information overload. There are so many different types of religions, and all of them, because of the internet, are put in front of you. It wasn't like back in the day where you had to literally buy a book on a specific topic, and now it's in front of you. Now you can be on YouTube looking at your favorite videos, and all of a sudden a, a video about meditation and opening up your third eye pops up and you're like, what is this? Right. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's different. And then, you know, you look at that and, well, that doesn't feel too right. Then you look at some, you know, let's just say some wacky Protestant Christian or even, you know, whatever it may be. And then it just, you're like, I don't know about all this. I don't know. And then you end up just getting a little slice of everything and ended up not picking anything at all.
There you go. I love it that you put your finger right on the pulse. Information overload. See, we're flooded with all this information. And then let's look at what that information is, Jesus. We're talking about bad information. We're talking about presupposing that life started from a big bang spontaneously all by itself. Like you said, that offends my mind just to think about that. But your generation and the past few, you know, probably, you know, since Darwin, people have been getting indoctrinated with these false ideas. And so when sacred scripture tells us that there will be a falling away of the faith, it just didn't happen out of the blue. For every action, there's a reaction. Cause, effect. It's all of the above, like you said, like Jess and I talk about often. We're in a knife fight right now. We're fighting for our lives. Christendom has been dismantled brick by brick, and the remnants of Christianity are still there. I mean, obviously the faith is there, but what I'm talking about, this idea that secular society and the church are working together to help man to achieve his end, that is a thing of the past. And so we're now reaping the fruits of that.
Exactly. I mean, obviously secular colleges. And so one of the things that liberals do the best is just taking over, right? They're very controlling, overtaking personalities. And so obviously as some of, you know, conservatives, for example, they're more like, you know what, as long as it's not affecting me personally, you do what you do and I do what I do, I'll conserve my little bubble here. And that is totally the wrong way to do about it. That is not what the great commandment that Jesus gave us is about.
That's right.
We have
That's
to right. go to our neighbor. We have to love our neighbor. We have to show compassion. We have to also spread the good news. As Catholics, we used to be a cultural religion, right? You used to be born in it and then your families and so on and so forth. Because of the amount of information out there, most people gravitate towards that spiritualism, right? Where no religion, I don't want to be a part of a religion because, you know, that structured organization is just meant to get money and they're greedy and they're meant to control the population. It's much better to be quote unquote spiritual. Oh, let me just focus on myself. I am my own God. I am in control. I can manifest and do manifest my future. Man, you know, all this verbiage is nonsense when you put it against the Bible, yet they don't know the scriptures. They never read it. They never, you know, have considered it. They might never consider it unless someone comes to them and speaks their language.
Oh, you're quoting scripture here. How can they believe unless one preach, right? How can they know unless one is sent? This is exactly right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's exactly why young men like you, people, old men like us, we need to really just take sacred scripture and make it a part of our lives. And like you said, we have to be willing to go out and love, love in the verb sense, that to lay down our life, even if it costs that, because we're in a day right now where, right, and you already know this, but people who think like you, Jesus, they're saying, you know, you're a hater. You know, what you believe is hate. No, it's actually love, because love corrects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're years behind. When it comes to evangelism on the Catholic side, we are years behind. There are more aggressive branches of Christianity like Jehovah Witness and Mormonism that go door to door, and they get the low hanging fruit, which is totally fine. The intellectuals, they are the ones who are the ones that are much harder to sort of convince, because you have to actually have good apologetics in order to have a conversation with them. They'll hit you with questions that you haven't even thought about.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus, what's the best way to, you're a young adult, what's the best way that you use to evangelize another young adult falling away Catholic? How do you start? What's your go-to technique?
Yeah. It's the basics. Most of the lukewarm Catholics right now are technically Protestants hiding under the umbrella of Catholicism. Oh. Yes, I grew up Catholic, but guess what? I don't go to Mass. I don't take the Eucharist. I don't go to confession. You're protesting against the things that the
Amen.
Church is telling you to do.
Amen.
So you're protesting. You're a Protestant. So that is what we have to ingrain in our brain as evangelists here. And we want to bring back our lost sheep and bring them back to our shepherd. Is we have to keep in mind that of our audience, who are we talking to? Where is their mindset at? Well, they're Protestant, and they also they don't know the basics. Does God
That's
really
right.
exist? You know,
That's
oh,
right.
see, you know, in the Hispanic community, yo sí creo en que Jesucristo, you know, whatever, but I don't go to Mass. Well, do you know what the importance of Mass is? You know why it's there?
Yeah.
What's for who you say you believe in? So
yes.
if you really believe in it, you really believe in Jesus Christ, then why don't you go ahead, go to Mass?
Right.
And it's the basics. Do they believe in God? Do they believe that there are spirits? It's that sort of thing.
That's right, Jesus. Either all of the Catholic Church is true or none of it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can't be a cafeteria Catholic and say, well, I like this and I don't like that on our own authority, right?
Nope.
The Catholic Church has authority. And I think that's what you've come to understand and recognize.
Yeah.
And if the church has that authority, then we are obligated to obey.
Yeah. Yes. One of the things I realized before even coming to Christ fully and being on fire is that I realized that I was Protestant before I even know what Protestantism was. You know, I was already protesting against the church saying, you know, yeah, I'm technically Catholic. You know, I grew up that way. I believe in Jesus and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But
the
best way is you got to show them the love of Jesus first.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The love of Jesus is that fire. The church is the chimney.
Hmm.
Right. It's where the fire sits and you can incubate it. You feed it more lumber in there to spread the fire more, but you can't build the chimney first if you don't have anything to spark it. If there's no purpose, it'll just dust up and just be there.
Jesus, we're coming down to the wire here. This has been I've really enjoyed this conversation. Where do you see yourself in 5 years as a young follower of Christ in the Catholic Church?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, my goal is to bring back the lukewarm Catholics back to the church, back to adherence to the authority that is established by Jesus Christ. They have a misconception of what Catholicism is. And one of the main things that you have to do is you have to spark that fire. It's that love of Christ. That love of Christ comes first. Then you're able to talk about, you know, you get in the weeds about the church and the organization of, you know, the hierarchy. There's a priesthood and there's a deacon, you know, all that good stuff. The catechism, it first starts with the love of Christ. Then they'll want to go to Mass. Then they'll be curious. What is that? What are they doing with, what's that incense? What is that? Why are they wearing what they're wearing? Why do we go to confession? What is the stuff that I grew up with, but I never understood behind it? You start to be curious, right?
Jesus, you remind me of another guy named Jesus. Jesus Romero. He was a young man, and I was
Once
a Protestant.
Upon a time.
I was a Protestant at the time, but I had a conversion and a burning and a thirst for God, and that. Jesse also, at that time, God used me in his life, and he became on fire. And he told me one time, he said, "Paul," he goes, "the Lord is leading me to stay in the Catholic Church," and he says, Catholics need to hear about conversion. They need to, you know, this is, and I said, well, if the Lord's leading you to stay there, well, then God used Jesse to bring me back to the fullness of the faith. And that's the beauty of it all. So when Jess asked you the question, where are you going to be 5 years from now? As Jess and I often say, we're rounding third and heading for home, and we're just passing you the baton, brother.
That's right.
Es tu turno.
Yes.
Jesus, we'll have to do this again. Thank you very much, young man, for coming on. What a joy. What a joy to have a young voice like you on fire in the Catholic Church. We'll have to do this again, young man. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Thank you. God bless you.
And up next, we've got Mr. Engineer. Who's up next? Dr. Luis Sandoval up next. Stick around. As for us,
Jesse, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Keep the faith. Viva Cristo Rey.